Welcome back to another episode in this series, BioNature. If you're new to this podcast, we investigate species and ecosystems all around the world.
Today we're going to feature a part in Australia's ecosystem that has been threatened throughout the last few decades.
The thing that has been threatening Australia's ecosystem is a poisonous toad.
The toad is called the cane toad, but to scientists, it's known as the Bufa marinus.
The reason it is so deadly is because when a predator tries to eat it, the predator will die to its toxins.
They're native to America from Rio Grande Valley in Texas to down South America.
But we were brought as a group of 101 from Hawaii in 1935 to Queensland as a form of biological control.
Wait, weren't they from America?
Yes, but you see, they were brought all around the world, and the last place to not have cane toads is Antarctica. They were on demand in the Caribbean islands and had done their job over there.
I remember reading Animal Invaders Cane Toad by Barbara A. Somerville, and it stated that they were brought to stop the greyback cane beetle since they were eating sugarcane farmers' crops.
And that the cane toad was meant to be a great form of biological control for the cane beetles.
When the 101 cane toads were introduced, they didn't do their intended job since the greyback cane beetle had the ability to climb up on top of the stalks where the cane toads couldn't reach them.
What did they do then?
Instead of removing the cane beetle, they took control of everything, and since the cane toads beat all the other toads in aspect like reproducing, size, eating habits, adjusting, and many other qualities, they had nothing stopping them. Their population went from 102 all the way to the millions.
You might be thinking, since they have invaded all around the world, people must already have a solution. But those people didn't have a solution. The animals already knew it, since they have many native toxic toads. But in Australia, this is the first time there's been one. And by not having native toxic toads in Australia, the animals don't know how to face the problem.
Another helping factor for the cane toads is that the climate in the higher regions of Australia is perfect. The cane toad took this opportunity and moved from the middle Queensland up to the northern coast. After looking at where they are located, the government has found out that they have moved from Queensland all the way to the very top of WA in the Kimberley region.
To sum up, the introduction of cane toads was a complete failure. I am sure that most people, including me, and even many scientists, would agree to this statement.
You might be wondering if the cane toad was the only failed invasive species to Australia, and the answer would be no, since another really bad invasive species was the Brumby, or commonly known as the wild horse.
It may not seem like the horse was a bad thing, but it was, since Australian soil couldn't support the Brumby hooves. And the hooves would then destroy the ground and ruin all the opportunities for organisms that need that soil intact.
Getting back on track, the cane toads have mainly affected northern quolls and large goannas, but have yet to make any animal extinct.
Reports have confirmed that in some regions, 90% of native reptilians have dropped. Did you know that more than 50 dogs in Hawaii died due to the cane toads?
Scientists have started to create gene banks. A gene bank is where scientists collect the genes of endangered species, and if they do go extinct, they can use those genes to make more.
We have a guest speaker today, geologist Sean Duty, who is going to tell us how the cane toads have impacted the biodiversity.
Hoi.
So how have the cane toads impacted the biodiversity in Australia?
Cane toads cause regional extinctions in some species, including top predators, which can cause the whole ecological community to get out of whack. They have spread because they can lay up to 35,000 eggs. They have been outnumbering endemic frog species here in Australia.
Thank you, Sean Duty. To add on that, there are limited predators that can eat the cane toad without experiencing the harmful effects of the poison. Some that can outstand this are the keelback snake, the crayfish, and interestingly, older cane toads.
Now we're getting into the numbers.
Wait, no, not the numbers.
Well, the cane toads have been costing the government a lot of money because the government is trying to protect Australia's ecosystem.
Fine. In 2008, the Australian government put $2 million aside to reduce the impact of the cane toad. They used this money by 2010. In 2009 to 2010, the government spent another $1 million for community-based control activities and research for a decrease in the cane toad population.
Over a two-year period, the Australian government spent $200,000 on research for saving corals and other native species from the cane toad. The Australian government agreed to pay $22 million to wildlife centres to preserve local wildlife.
They are also agreeing to pay an amazing $1 million to Indigenous rangers to keep the spread of cane toads in control.
The cane toads have not solved the problem that cane farmers have had with the greyback cane beetles.
Yeah, all they've done is so far is create another problem.
Economy-wise, cane toads might help in Gordonvale, where they were imported. The local government of Gordonvale have opened a place called the Cane Toad World. At the moment, it is only a mosaic monument about the story of cane toads and how they came to Australia. It also features a cane toad-themed playground.
Wait a minute. Cane toads might attract a few tourists that are interested in biology. What if they developed it a bit more and put a price on entry? It might produce income for the government. Cane toads had spread to the top of Western Australia, or WA as the locals call it.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they just spread down WA?
That's because of two reasons. Firstly, the climate is best for the cane toad near the top of Australia because the equator, and in the region of the toads, it has a lot of cliffs and unpredictable terrain.
And by that terrain, it's hard to traverse the area.
Exactly.
But wouldn't it be hard for us too?
Yes, since there's a scarcity of landing strips for aircraft, and even if the aircraft look down, they'll only be looking at treetops.
We even have confirmation from Project Coordinator of Invasive Species, or PICIS, Claire Forward, saying,
"Well, the collected data, we're looking at a front line that is probably about 50 kilometres to the west of Fitzroy Crossing."
Claire Forward for the interesting information. Some of the ways cane toads can be are being dealt with is by having people go out, look for jelly-like strings, which are cane toad eggs, and remove and kill them humanly. But when looking for the eggs and removing them, you might remove the eggs of a different type of toad.
The odd types of control is by using golf clubs, which is actually against the law, and you will receive a very large fine. Scientists in the Kimberleys are using the non-poisonous parts of the cane toad to make sausages with nausea chemicals.
These are then airdropped from a helicopter for the native animals to learn not to eat the cane toads.
Getting serious again, the government has provided with a plan to research, create and utilise smart biological ways of controlling these pests.
Another strategy is to have scientists release young cane toad ahead of the front line to help make the animals evolve not to eat the cane toads. By having the animals eat the young cane toads, get sick, not die, since the young can't kill with their own toxins at such a young age.
The government has started to use Aborigines to help this situation, and we have Dr. Fear saying how much the Aborigines are helping.
They are consultants for country, identifying areas of high biodiversity, providing ecological understanding of local areas, and helping to run the works on the ground.
Thank you, Dr. Ward Fear, for your information.
To summarise today's episode, we have learned that the cane toads were introduced to Gordonvale in 1935 from Hawaii, even though they were native to Central and South America.
We also learned that the introduction of cane toads was a complete failure and impacted the Australian ecosystem massively, with a decrease in numbers of endemic species.
We also found that the cane toad problem not only impacts the ecosystem, but also the government and economy because they have to deal with the cane toads. We also learned that WA government have been getting ready for the spread across the western lands.
We are controlling when controlling the spread, we learned that people have been dedicating to protect the wildlife from the cane toad and have been controlling the spread, like the example of cane toad sausages with nausea chemicals.
Stay tuned for our next episode of BioNature.
Have a great day. See you next time.